The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I thirst." There was a vessel filled with common wine. So they put a sponge soaked in wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he handed over his spirit. Now, since it was the preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of that week was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken and they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and then of the other one who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. The Gospel of the Lord.
God is so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters.
Welcome to the feast of Mary, the mother of the church, probably the newest feast day in our whole calendar. I sometimes lose track of all the novelties coming down the pike, and I'm often not the best one to ask as to what's newest, but as best I can tell, the newest feast day in our whole church calendar. And Mary, Mother of the Church, is the newest title that we have of the Blessed Mother. It was first used by Pope Benedict XIV in the year 1748. And if you're Catholic, that is new, right? If you're Catholic, that's just yesterday. But even though the title and the feast day are brand new, the reality of Mary, Mother of the Church, that dates back to Good Friday, which is why we hear this gospel today from the Gospel of St. John. And Jesus, dying on the cross, says to Mary and to the beloved disciple St. John, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." Why does Jesus say that? Why does Jesus say that? Take a closer look. There's two reasons why he says that. The first is very simple and it's very practical. Jesus is simply entrusting his poor mother to the care of St. John. Okay, just remember, in antiquity, a woman literally depended on a husband or a son to survive. And this is especially true for a poor woman. There were no social networks or any of that sort of thing to defend her or to provide for her. So Jesus is simply making necessary provisions for his mother to be cared for. But the reason why I mention that is because it's a very subtle little proof for something that gets debated around Catholic Protestant circles all the time. It's this absolute proof that Mary has no other children besides Jesus. I don't know if you've ever had this debate, you know, like with a Protestant or not, but in the Gospels there are these passages and it says Jesus and his brothers and his sisters, right? Brothers and his sisters. And you'll get people who say, "Well, you see, Jesus had brothers and sisters. Mary had other children besides Jesus." Of course, in our Catholic tradition, we've said no, no, and no. Mary has one and only one child. And when they say brothers and sisters, they're using it as a kind of extended metaphor for first and second cousins. Well, this gospel is the definitive proof of the Catholic position, because if Mary has other kids besides Jesus, the law entrusts her to their care. Her care passes over to the next of kin. The fact that Jesus does this from the cross proves she's got no place else to turn. But that's not the deepest reason why this is mentioned here in the Gospels today, right? If that's the only thing Jesus meant to say, he would have said, John, won't you please take care of Mary, my poor mother? He's doing much more than that with these words. Jesus is deliberately establishing a relationship between us and the Blessed Mother with carefully chosen words that he says twice. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Not Mary. John's going to be just like a son to you now. And John, Mary, she's going to be just like a mother to you now. But no, woman, behold. You know, the last time in the Bible, the only other time in the Bible, in which Jesus refers to Mary as woman, it's the wedding feast at Cana. Son, they've run out of wine. He says, woman, what does this concern of yours have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. As I mentioned before, now his hour has come. Now back at Cana, Mary was the model Christian disciple when she says, do whatever he tells you. And I think if you were there at Cana and you'd heard her say that, she would have put emphasis on the word whatever. Do whatever he tells you. Let me tell you, it's all good. She became the model for the whole church. Well, now a relationship here is established. Woman, behold your son. Who's the son who Mary is beholding? Who's the son? You could say, well, it's Jesus right in front of her. And it is. But it's more than that. Now, the son is John and by extension, all of us. Because the act of redemption began at the moment of the Annunciation. When the angel Gabriel said to Mary, will you be the mother of Jesus? And she said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me as you say. And from that moment onward, the act of redemption had begun because she gave physical life to Jesus. Now the act of redemption, as we hear in the gospel, is finished. Now it is consummated. Now it is complete. And now that act of redemption gets shared with the whole world. And just as Mary gave physical life to Jesus in the moment of the Annunciation, she gives spiritual life to all of us. At the foot of the cross, that's why Mary is called Mother of the Church. Now, to me, the most important thing about this fact is that you do not think of it as a distant, abstract, theological idea, because that can't change your life, and that can't move your heart. I need you to think about this personally. Personally. Your mother is the mother of Jesus in the spiritual order. I've never in my life known a mother who was not rabidly defensive of the well-being of her children. Yes or yes? Yes, right? Mama bear, right? All right. If that's true, for a sinful woman in a fallen race of Eve, how much more true for the perfect, sinless Mother of God caring for our spiritual lives? You've got a friend in a high place, and it's part of our faith. Remember, faith is the good news that changes everything. You want to take refuge in her all the time. And I'm absolutely convinced when we lack peace, when we lack joy, we forget the good news. Eve became the mother of all the living. And Mary becomes the mother of all believers. And your spiritual life is not complete until she has a very central place to play in it. So let's ask for her prayers to help us today and always as we pray. Mary, Mother of the Church, pray for us.